Good morning, class.
Good morning, Keith.
Hello, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You know, even if you've been walking with the Lord and making good progress for 50 years, your faith can still grow stronger. Your spirit can still grow stronger. There's still so much room to develop. We have not arrived. And your life is so much the better for it. The stronger your faith gets, and the more you see things the way God does, and the more you think the way He does, and the more clear you are about what His will is in every area of life, it just simplifies life. It gets rid of the confusion, and you know immediately what to resist and give no place to, and you know it when it's God, and you give Him full place. Hallelujah. And your life is radically different and easier and more enjoyable and blessed compared to people who don't. So glad you're with us in Faith School again today. Let's release faith and prayer to receive more. Father, we do ask you for more. More insight, more revelation, more anointing, more grace. And we know with you, there's always more. You are unlimited and of goodness. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been for weeks now in our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've been giving, one by one, 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Not opinions, not theories, scriptures, what He said. And if He told us something, we can have faith for that, right? We can believe for that. And so said out loud, I am sure.
I am sure.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will,
for us all.
Another time, say abundant provision
is always
God's will,
for me.
Today, this week, paying bills, taking care of things.
Yes.
Is it God's will for you to pay them or not?
Yes.
Yeah. Even if you made a mistake, even if you did something dumb and you made a commitment that you shouldn't have, ask me how I know. Then what you do is you just come before the Lord and you repent and you say, Lord, I should have listened. Or I shouldn't have moved so fast. I should have prayed and sought you and asked. But Lord, here I am. I need help. I ask you for mercy. Is He a merciful God?
Yes.
Oh, He will help you. Even out of dumb stuff, He will help you. And we talked some weeks past about He's the God of restoration. He, even though you have messed yourself up and lost things, He will restore you, even to better than you were before.
Amen.
He is this good.
Amen.
Believe it. But you got to repent and come to Him. We've been one by one through these 30 reasons, and we're down now to number 17. And we are talking about the covenant blessing. We've been talking about how that God has always been a covenant God. A covenant is something that at least two parties enter into with each other, and usually a written agreement and a solemn binding and commitment from both or all parties, including promises of benefits. And if you break the covenant, repercussions, cost for breaking it. And the most powerful and the most serious of all covenants is the blood covenant. Because blood was shed, which means a life was given up. A life was sacrificed to show the seriousness and the unchanging, unfailing commitment of those involved in this covenant. And God knows us. He knows human beings. He knows our condition and how many things in this world come against us to cause us to question or to challenge or to fear. And so He has given us strong consolation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. In His commitment to us, in that He has given His word, and He cannot lie, and He has sealed it, hallelujah, with the blood of His Son, an everlasting covenant. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the everlasting covenant. And we see that the covenants that God made with His people leading up to this covenant in Christ, they weren't separate things going in different directions. They were all going the same direction. And they were all resulting in the same kind of thing. Getting free from a curse and enjoying some blessing. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Every one of them. And one of the big reasons why God would enter into covenant with somebody like Abraham, his friend, was so He would have a right to do things for him that He didn't have a right to do for the whole population of the planet. Like we said before, ignoring your Old Testament, big mistake. Big mistake. There's no such thing as an old, irrelevant, out-of-date Word of God. No such thing. And these covenants and these revelations, they give you insight into where we are today. They give you insight into our covenant in Christ. In fact, when God revealed Himself to Abraham, and He said, my covenant is with you, Abram. My covenant is with you. And God Himself walked in between the animals that had been killed and their blood shed while Abraham was basically more aware of spiritual things. And it's just amazing. You can read about it in the Scriptures how that God told him about how this covenant was going to affect his descendants hundreds of years from then. And I'm going to express it in more detail, but how that Christ would come of his seed and would bless the whole world. Yeah. But the covenant allowed blessing. Then the next thing you see, Abraham, everything he has is just flourishing and multiplying. And when he needed help, God gave him help. When he needed protection, God gave him protection. Can you see this?
Yes.
Well, but then there was Abram's side of the covenant. These covenants are not one-sided. We enter into covenant with each other. And it was God and Abraham. And so then, God would tell Abraham, we're in covenant. I want you to circumcise all of your males and as a sign of the covenant, and I want you to keep it this way and do it this way. And the Bible said, man, Abraham, before the sun was down, he would do what God told him to do. And this kept progressing year after year until later on, he said, go up to the mount and give me your son. Huh? Your only son, begotten son, Isaac. And Abram, he didn't wait. The next morning they're up, they're gone. Right? Why? He is in a blood covenant with God. What does that mean? Everything God has belongs to Abraham. What else does it mean? Everything Abraham has belongs to God. That's what covenant is. And So God says, you know, we're in covenant. I want Isaac. Bring him to me. And man, you see how strong this covenant is. Abraham just goes. And you know the story, how that he tied him to the altar and raised up the knife to sacrifice him like you would a lamb or a goat or a sheep or something. And if you read the whole story and look at Hebrews, you know Abraham had become convinced that God was going to raise him from the dead. Amen. Because God had told him, again, where does faith come from? God had told him, in Isaac, your seed will be called. And so he says, well, it's got to come through Isaac, this seed that will bless the whole world, which is Christ ultimately. So if he dies, he can't stay dead, right? He has to, he believed for resurrection. But because God sees the heart, he knew when Abram raised his hand, he knew he was going to follow through. He knew he was. And so he had to yell at him. The angel yelled at him and got him to stop. And so as far as God was concerned, he already did it. Right? And so there was a ram who was caught in the thicket and they sacrificed him instead. But why did this need to happen? Because only then did God have a legal right, oh, come on, y'all listening, to offer his only son. Oh, come on, can you see this? This is covenant. Covenant. And so if the enemy or anybody, because, you know, the enemy, the devil and all his crowd and the fallen angels, they are forever lost. There is no redemption for them. And if anybody said anything about God, how he has treated us, we are not a lost cause. That's what it means to be saved. he saved us. We would have been lost. And if all of that bunch, they could accuse God of being unfair. You say, well, God, how is it we're lost and they sinned? Covenant. Oh, come on, covenant, covenant. He can point to Abraham. Is that right?
Yeah.
Abraham, a human being, a man in covenant with him, was willing to give his only begotten son. Oh, hallelujah. Willing to give him in death, shed his blood to keep his covenant with God, which gives God every right. Come on, can you see this? Every right to do what he did. And now, hundreds of years later, Jesus came and he was the final sacrifice and his blood was shed, was spilled. He did die and he has sealed with his own blood the everlasting covenant, which gives God the right to bless us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In spite of our sin, gives him the right to free us from all the curse that we deserved because of our mistakes. Somebody say, thank God, thank God, thank God for the covenant, for the blood of the covenant. Forever we're thankful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, look with me in Leviticus, please. Leviticus, the 26th chapter, we're going to begin to see some of the specifics of the covenant. We had mentioned that he told them to have different representatives stand on different parts of two different mounts, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and to pronounce the curses from Mount Ebal, pronounce the blessings from Mount Gerizim. And those mounts, they're about 3,000 foot tall places, and they're both still there to this day in Israel. And the Lord told them to pronounce it, and there was a formal thing of him entering into covenant and the details of the covenant given. In Leviticus, the 26th chapter, some of this is mentioned. And I know we've gotten stirred up about the covenant, as we should. But remember, we're talking about, is it God's will? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. For us to have abundance. Well, if you're just talking about our performance of all our life to this point, then no, we haven't earned abundant provision or good things out of life. And don't use the word "I deserve." Yeah. That takes it out of grace. Yeah. That means it's owed to you. Yeah. And sometimes you'll hear people say, "Well, what did I ever do to deserve this?" The answer is lots. Plenty. Do you really want to talk about how many ways you've missed it and messed up? No, you don't want to talk about what you deserve. You want to talk about grace. Oh, hallelujah. About how Jesus got the punishment and curse you deserved so you could get the blessing you didn't deserve. But you get it anyway. Yes. I'm enjoying, my wife and I and all those that are with us, we're enjoying all kind of good things. Yes. That we did not earn. Amen. We don't deserve. Yes. But we're still enjoying them just the same. Which is why we give thanks to God and praise God all the time. But again, that's the purpose of the covenant. To come into covenant with somebody who's stronger than you. Who can cause things to happen for you, you could have never caused for yourself. Amen. And thank God, you know, sometimes you might think, well, God, did you get a good deal in this covenant? You know? We got everything from you. What'd you get from us? No, he values us. Yes. And he values what we bring to the covenant. Amen. And all you got to do is look back at what we just described with Abraham. How valuable was that? Yeah. That Abraham was willing to go that far to keep his covenant with God, that whatever God asked for, it was his. And you know, you just need to do that once in a while to say, Lord, I'm in covenant with you. I belong to you. Everything I am, everything I have is under your hand. I am yours to command. Are you willing to say that? Just like Abraham? Because what God is saying is that everything I have is yours. All that I have is yours. So say it out loud. Father God,
you are my God.
Jesus is my Lord. And I am in covenant with you. And I rejoice that you have given me all blessings, all benefits, every good thing. Thank you, thank you. And I affirm. I am in covenant
with you.
And everything I am, and everything I have,
everything under my control
is available to you.
I am yours to command.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. That means something to him. It means something to him. Now, don't let it just be empty words. And don't despise what might seem to you a small thing. He might say, you know, call so-and-so and talk to them. Pray for them. Yeah. Be with them. Send them some money. Whatever. And don't procrastinate on things like that. Because if it comes up to you, why did you even think about it?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why did it come up then? And you don't have to bug them. You don't have to pry into their business. Just do what the Lord told you
Amen.
To do. Right?
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Or call.
Amen.
Or send.
Amen.
Or do. Because it's just acting on the Lord saying, this is my covenant partner and their resources are mine.
Yeah.
And so certain things that's in heaven, he's not using them for the earth, but things in earth that's in your hand, he can get them from you to them because you listen to him.
Amen. Amen.
I thought years ago, I said, Lord, I want to be one of your go-to men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that? When you want something done, you want it done now, right?
Yeah.
And somebody's not going to argue with you or drag their feet or make a bunch of excuses. You tell them to do it. And they do it
Amen.
That day,
Amen.
Now. Just the way you said it. Because, see, that's what Moses was. That's what Abraham was. That's what these men and women of the old covenant were. And of course, Jesus, he said, I do always those things that please him. And so you can be one of God's go-to men or women. All you got to do, just remember, I'm in covenant. If he asks, I answer. Amen. Right? Amen. If he calls, I go.
Amen.
We're in covenant. I don't have to understand it. He didn't have to explain it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Covenant.
Amen.
Covenant. Well, in Leviticus 26, we begin to see some of the benefits of keeping this covenant. He said to them in verse 1, Leviticus 26, 1, Leviticus, he said, verse 1, you shall make you no idols, no graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it. I am the Lord your God. A lot of folks have gotten away from this. This is one of the first of the Ten Commandments about the Lord being your God, only God, and you creating no images or statues. Now, people have justified stuff in their mind, but you do not ever need to bow in front of a statue to pray or worship a statue of Jesus, supposedly, a statue of Mary. Come on, y'all, listen to me. No, I don't care who does it. It's contrary to the Word of God.
Yes.
God doesn't like it. We're in covenant with Him.
Yes.
We need to do things the way He said do it.
Amen.
He reminded them on what we talked about a few classes back. He said, when I came down in the fire, He said, you didn't see a form. Even when they had that meal, they didn't see His face. They just saw a form. And He said, no statues, no images, nothing. So, really, I don't care for supposed pictures of some of these things. I just, because the Word says, no images, no statues, right?
Yeah.
You pray to the unseen God and let Him minister to you that way. And He said, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. This is still true today. For one thing, we are His sanctuary, right? We are the body of Christ. We are the church He's building. And it's still right to observe the day of rest. A lot of folks ignore it, but it's still right. If you walk in my statute and keep my commandments to do them, God is telling you as your covenant God, your covenant partner, what He's going to do. I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. You'll find in a lot of cases where there's terrible drought and where it's been that way for generation after generation, they serve false gods. Many of them, their forefathers. And the sad thing is that the children are paying for the sins of their forefathers. Can you see this? And it's not that God is trying to do something against them. They just rejected God. And now for generations, they've been trying to make it without God. And they're not making. Oh, they have. Some of them have their gods. Some of them have hundreds of gods. Some of them have thousands of gods. But there is only one God, creator of heaven and earth. And that's what He keeps saying. I'm the only one. Don't have any other statues. But if you're in covenant with me, I will give you rain, and your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you'll eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. This word reach is a very significant word. It's the opposite of running out.
Yes.
Today's English version says your crops will be so plentiful that you'll still be harvesting grain when it's time to pick grapes. You'll be picking grapes when it's time to plant grain. You'll have all you want to eat and you'll live in safety in your land. The Berean says you'll still be eating old supply when you need to clear it out to make room for the new. The New Living says you'll have such a surplus of crops, you'll need to clear out the old to make room for the new harvest.
Amen.
Has God changed since then? Or is that still His will? Is it still His will? You got so many new clothes coming in that you got to clean out the closet.
Yeah.
Still got tags on them.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You got so much coming in. You just had two new vehicles come in.
Yeah.
So you got to get those 2 and 3 year old cars out of the garage. So I lost somebody. So you have a place to put them. Somebody said, well, that just sounds greedy. No, what are you going to do with all this good stuff? You give, you sow, you bless. Oh, come on, can you see this? You bless, but instead of running out, not reaching, you are reaching and overlapping, reaching and overflow, reaching and surplus. That's what the blessing does in the covenant with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I live in surplus.
I live in abundance
because I'm in covenant with the faithful God. Our time's up today. So glad to be with you and shout about these things. We'll see you next time here in Faith School. Hallelujah. We have a covenant with God. Deuteronomy, we've been looking at. You see it in 27, 28, 29, 30, those chapters. But 26, where it began, was the chapter of tithing. And that's what kicked off some of this whole thing. It's part of the covenant, keeping God first in your things. You want to put Him first. The Bible said, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. Don't just keep begging God to help you with your stuff. Put His stuff first. Become a part of a good church. Become partners with good ministries. Help send people to do the work and mission work and preach the gospel. And put that first before you, before your stuff. And then you will see that you have sown that seed and God has a right to bless you. Lord, show us all how to truly put You first in all these things and how to honor You so You can honor us. I speak increase and blessing over all of our partners as we do this. You are the faithful God who keeps covenant and blesses us. Thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll come back next week. There's a lot more to shout about our covenant with God here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.